now going to shift gears to the public input session for our federal certification review. This is part of a standard process where the USDOT certifies that CROG is carrying out our transportation planning program in accordance with all of the federal requirements. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Jennifer Carrier from FHWA to give a brief presentation and open up the public input session.
Kara, did you want to control the video from your end or
perfect? Yep, Ryan will be advancing for you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Good to see a number of familiar faces. I am with the Connecticut Division of the Federal Highway Administration, and today we have the Federal Transit Administration here. I'll introduce myself. I'm going to turn it over to Kurt Samaraji, who will give the presentation, but I'm the MPO coordinator and planning and transportation planner. We have relocated, so we are right in downtown Hartford now in the federal building. But Kurt, did you want to introduce yourself?
Certainly. Hello, my name is Kurt Samaraji. I'm the program development team leader and for the Federal Highway Connecticut Division. I'm glad to be here. We can jump right into the slides now. If we go to the next slide, please. Oh, perfect. Thank you. All right, who we are. For the planning unit in the Connecticut Division, it's myself, Kurt Samaraji, Jennifer Carrier, and Eric Chartel. Just as a side note, we're all Connecticut natives. So just sometimes people don't realize that Federal Highways actually has an office in Connecticut, that we all live here. So that's always, I always like to reiterate that. As far as FTA goes, Leah Sermon, who's in Cambridge, Massachusetts, she covers Region 1, which is all of New England. So Leah is involved with all of the DMA certifications, all within the region. And you know, I always like to start off, you know, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, but we truly are. Okay, next slide. So why we are here? It's a federal requirement that we do a review of the TMA, any census population that exceeds 200,000 people. It's a joint federal highway, federal transit certification of the transportation process. So in a broader sense, the certification review is a process that's a value opportunity to provide stewardship and oversight to the MPO, enhancing the planning process and improving the quality of transportation investment decisions. The one thing I always like to point out, this is not a gotcha. We are partners in the process. I always like to remind people that the federal aid process, the federal aid program, it's federally assisted, state administered, and locally driven. You need all three of those working together to be successful. We interact with you a lot, whether it's at the COG meetings, we check in with the TMA and the MPO on come to the meetings. Now that we're in Hartford and once meetings are in person, you'll probably see a lot of us because it will be just a couple blocks walk. So you may not want us to be in Hartford after this is done. The last certification review was done in 2018. It's a 4-year review, so we're up and doing it again. It's not just a review of the MPO or its staff. It's a review of the planning process and conducted by the TMA planning partners. It's cooperatively carrying out the process on a daily basis. We're kind of looking at all of that. Okay, next slide. Oh, I kind of already went through some of this. we're looking for you to provide input to us as we do the review, what's working, what's not working, what can be improved, where we help improve things. You know, there's a lot of different planning documents out there, the access to those documents. So we're going to look at public input, project selection, performance management, how things are being done. And then we look for your comments back, and all of those comments will be taken and incorporated into the final report when it's done. All right, next slide. So what is the outcome of the review? So there's 3 outcomes that could be either certified subject to corrective actions, or not certified. If it's not certified, that means there's going to be funding restrictions put in place. Not certified is highly unlikely. We did a mid-cycle check-in. We interact with the MPO. We kind of know what's coming up. If there's already something wrong, we wouldn't wait to this meeting to point it out. So it'll be very highly unlikely that we have a not certified. All right, next slide, please. All right, the Metropolitan Transportation Planning Process. So what is the process? It's a process in which transportation decisions are made and projects are planned, selected, and prioritized for implementation within the region. You know, we look for consistency, transportation improvements for planned growth, economic development, and obviously safety and security of our nation's transportation systems are a big priority to us. MAP 21 included development of performance-based and multimodal programs to improve decision-making through better informed planning and programming. I keep saying MAP 21 and FAST Act, and most of these things will carry through the next transportation bill when that gets passed also. So why is it important? You know, it decides how federal dollars are allocated within the region annually. And again, there's limited funding. So you need to prioritize your projects based on performance goals and how that's all going to work together. And some of the priorities under MAP 21 and the FAST Act, which will carry forward, are more timely project delivery, expanded safety agenda investments, maintaining the infrastructure condition, reducing traffic congestion, improving freight movement, and protecting the environment. All right, next slide, please. So who's involved? It's pretty much, like I said, a joint effort. So it's obviously Capital Region Council of Governments, it's TANCA DOT, it's all the public transportation operators, the federal agencies, FTA and federal highways, the public, and everyone else has a role in this whole process. As I said before, it's a locally driven process for the federal aid program. And next slide, please. So we review multiple items as part of the process. Also, we've already done desk audit and desk review, and now we're doing kind of just the meeting with you and the public and meeting with the members of the MPO right now to have to ask questions and go through the process. We look at the Unified Planning Work Program, which is the federal planning funds. That includes the planning priorities and the different issues that you're going to tackle in the next couple of years. We look at the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which establishes the long-term transportation investment service and policy agenda for the region, and linking land use to the transportation plan. We look at the congestion management process. As you know, there's a lot of congestion in the area. It's been kind of dying down, but coming back now as people return to work. So we kind of look at the structured approach and how you look at addressing those issues and the performance of that. And then there's the transportation improvement program, which includes all the capital and non-capital surface transportation projects within the boundaries of metropolitan planning area that are proposed to use the federal funding, and the public participation plan, how you get this information and discuss and work with the public to get these ideas and everything out to them. And the three C's that we always talk about in planning are the continuing, cooperative, and comprehensive, which you see right in the bottom of the slide. All right, next slide, please. And that's it. Any comments, questions, views of the process, anything you have questions for us?
I have a question, but it may be outside of your purview. I'm just curious if anyone in your department or your area is looking into what kinds of green infrastructure are being considered or pursued currently. Specifically, I'm concerned with the freight, bottlenecks at the shipyards and getting out nationwide. And are we pursuing more of the electric vehicles, the trucks? Are we looking into magnetic trains? Who do we have somebody who's doing this, looking into it?
Not directly through us, but I know there is, in part of the new transportation bill, there is a lot more for electric vehicles moving forward. We do have a freight plan that we look at the TANCA DOT works on to look at freight and things like that. But at our level, we're not quite where we sit in the Connecticut division. We look at it at a state level, but not at a national level. Our headquarters tackles that more on a national level, but it is part of what we're doing. It's like we're trying to update the electric vehicle charging stations, and we monitor the freight throughout the state. That's part of this review too, is to look at the freight plan. Lee, I don't know if you had any more to add to that by any chance.
Is this the time for the towns to make their general overall comments, if they have any, about the process and about CROG's, how they feel about how CROG is doing?
Yes.
Well, I'll start it off then. I'm John Coleman from town of Bloomfield. Been around for a while. And I would, I think we only, and I think you probably hear it from a lot of us, that from our perspective, CROG does a superb job in all of the issues that you've say are covered by this review. They are exceedingly responsive to the towns. They are very open in their process. They encourage public participation. They encourage input from the towns. They provide superb technical assistance to the towns when it's requested. They do a great job of coordinating the entire process of the various activities that we participate in, be it the TIP, be it LOTSIP, be it any other federal program. I know LOTSIP, it's a state program. They are very, very responsive in representing the towns in at other levels of government, be it the state or the federal government, and issues regarding transportation planning and project development and implementation. I think the ongoing frustration that I think I can speak on behalf of all members of the Transportation Committee is that we are not, that the CROG is not provided additional flexibility and authority to carry out a number of these programs that we, and this is a constant refrain that we've had for a long time, that we feel somewhat overly restricted by the levels of government above us. You stated in the opening that this is really a locally driven program and ought to be locally driven. I think that the response you'll get from us is that we would like it to be much more locally driven, that we are hampered by the restrictions that and the guidelines that the state puts on, and they say those are carry downs from the federal government. And it seems to me that, as you say, CROG is the closest to the local level from a regional body, and transportation planning and implementation obviously should be done on a regional basis at minimum. And we think that there should be a very strenuous, proactive look at how the regions, particularly in this state, can be more controlling and proactive for their own programs, and that the, put it a different way, it would be nice if the state and the feds would have a little more trust in the reliability and the ability of the regions and the municipalities to faithfully, accurately, and trustworthily carry out their programs. Thank you. And I would invite any of the other representatives of the municipalities on the Transportation Committee, as well as any of the other organizations on the committee to come forward with any comments or questions that they might have. I think the CROG would like that to be put on the record, and I think obviously the state and federal government would benefit from hearing from your comments.
Go ahead, John. Peter Hughes from Marlboro. I'll echo all your comments. It's not a one fit shoe, especially when we get down to the smaller communities. So there needs to be some flexibility. The state points at the federal government for all its restrictions and inability to be flexible. Not that they don't want to be, but they're telling us their hands are tied by the federal regulations. So I would echo John's sentiment that, you know, we need to look at these, build in some flexibility, and allow MPOs who can demonstrate they have the capacity and the capability to do more, which CROG absolutely has for the 20 years I've been associated with the organization. Thank you.
Next. Go ahead.
John, I as Peter did, echo your sentiments. I think you spoke perfectly for the group and all the things that we have discussed in the over the years in this. And I'm now coming from a community that doesn't necessarily put in a lot of applications through this process, but I do see all the applications that come in from other communities. There is some frustration that is that comes up, and I think we handle that well. I feel like there's times when we would suggest something and it's listened to and it works out okay. And I'm just wondering if we can't have some more input into the process and maybe be a little more trusted with the process, because I think the closer you get to the local level, the more knowledge you have. And just want to echo that. And I also just want to reiterate that Krug does a great job in keeping in contact, in keeping us informed, in listening to us and adjusting, and just helping out in all aspects.
Thank you. Next, anyone else? You're a quiet group today.
I can say one more, I can add one more. Karen Isherwood from Suffield. I had a bid opening this morning on, I'm glad to have it, for a LOTSIP funded project that was, the design was essentially completed earlier this year, and I lost the whole summer. It could have been built by now, but it was delayed by further review. No changes, no substantial changes, but I got the bids today. Now I'm not going to construct until the spring, and I have this solicitation for projects that I don't know if I can participate in, because I have this other project that was ongoing that's going to be coming up, and I wish it was done and I could participate, but it just is everything gets delayed and it's very frustrating. So I agree with everything that was said previously. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other community? I guess, Jennifer, we turn it back to you.
Yes, thank you. Can we just confirm that no one from the public had any comments? It was really good to hear the dialogue from, you know, the CROG members, but anyone from the public have any comments? Anyone from the public in participation? Okay, I'm not hearing any. Could we just drill down a little bit? I do have some experience with MPO operations, but some examples that we're talking about, it sounds like some of the requirements that are pushed down are challenging, but what is that in regards to? Is it still the LOTSIP program? Is it just some examples to that extent?
I think I'll start first, and certainly the staff can probably give you better examples, but certainly LOTSIP has been a frustration. And we have suggested that to the state that they consider making, and they say what they want to do is not permitted in the legislation, blah, blah, blah. That's neither here nor there for us, is whether or not we could use CROG as a demonstration where the MPO basically undertakes, you know, the entire role of overseeing and processing the applications and supervising the implementation, because we think we have an organization in CROG that's capable of doing that. It doesn't necessarily apply to all the MPOs across the state. I think we have, I think we are looking for a little more flexibility, particularly for the rural and smaller communities. They, as much as we've tried and as much as we put set-asides aside for those communities in a lot of our programs, they keep running up against the one that I keep thinking of is whether or not they're on the federal aid road system. Well, 95% of the small, you know, you go out to the town of Andover or Marlboro where Peter is, you know, those little town roads, they're not on them. They don't have the traffic volumes. They don't have the that would demonstrate the need to meet the strict requirements to be on the federal aid road system, and therefore they become ineligible. And it becomes very frustrating when we're trying to be to provide equality across the region, at least for funding opportunities. They may choose not to apply, they may not have a need, but it becomes very difficult, particularly for the smaller communities. It would be, you know, they obviously also lack the technical staff to do some of this, and CROG has demonstrated a willingness and ability to provide that. That also might be useful in the federal funding to do that at a more extensive level than they're doing now. But it's mainly looking for flexibility, adaptability to local conditions, and the ability to process applications in a timely manner. I mean, we're up against to no fault of their own, but CONDOT has obviously had to deal with the pandemic. They have some significant staffing cliffs that are facing them in terms of retirement. They have very significant time-constrained federal funding programs coming in, you know, very significant dollars that dwarf any of the local and lots of programs, where they're going to be forced to put their staffing, which means that we're going to be facing further delays. So if it could come down to our level where we're not dealing with that, it would greatly help us. And that's from my perspective. I would ask, you know, maybe Rob or Kara if they want to make some comments. Maybe not. I guess not.
Peter Hughes, Marlboro.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Peter.
An example of the federal aid route that John just used. If you look at South Main Street in Marlboro, there's one section in the middle that doesn't qualify. It's 80% of the road falls in, but 20% doesn't, and it's in the middle. You know, when you talk, it's all by the traffic count. It's by an exit ramp. You know, we have 60 miles of road and 10 miles on the federal aid list because they're old state highways for the most part, or we wouldn't have them. So there is something that needs to be looked at in the smaller communities as far as eligibility, with some different traffic standards.
Kara, did you want to say something?
No, I was going to say actually that Rob would probably be more able to comment than I.
Well, I think most of what you're hearing about is LOTSIP. Of course, there are other funding sources that towns have to deal with. You know, the federal ones that are sub-allocated, like a TA set aside and things like that, but I haven't heard of anybody discussing those yet. I know some of you have old STP urban projects. Doug, you have one. I don't know if you care to comment on the towns would, I guess this is a forum for the towns to really comment on those processes.
Yeah, I think, Jennifer, to sum it up, you know, I think what we're really asking for, or at least what I'm asking for, and I think the committee would agree, is give us a chance. Try it out. You know, if we fall flat on our face, it's not going to be the end of the world. We're not going to waste money. We're not going to do that. We may not be able to improve on it, but I think it's time to try a new approach that relieves the state to do what they do best on their big projects, and allows, at least in this case, our region to focus on the projects in our region and process them in a legitimate, timely, appropriate fashion. And have a little faith in us. You know, it's like we don't think you know how to run the money. And, you know, we all run our towns pretty well. And it seems to me, I think we could run a transportation project equally well.
I have a comment, Steve Soapblatt, Rocky Hill. We've done a few projects using the LOTSIP, and it's basically been the pavement preservation. And, you know, we go to bid and you're getting prices that are, you know, $10-$15 more a ton for asphalt and, you know, dollar or two more square for the milling. And if we could just say, you know, here's the money, utilize VIP pricing, you could save a lot of money versus having to have a set of plans. This, I mean, this is just simple, basic mill and pave. And then the DOT reviews, then the DOT has, and then you have SHPO, and you have the endangered species people, and you got all these people with their comments. And the first one I did, there's probably 100 different comments down to, oh, the sign is bent. I mean, that was a waste of somebody's time and resources, you know, for a simple mill and pave. And I think we could get these jobs done a lot less expensive than having to go through some of this oversight.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. So,
since Rob decided to invoke my name, I guess I'll speak up a little. It's Doug Wilson from East Hartford. Yes, we do have a lingering STP urban, actually two of them. And it would have been three, but the third phase of our Brewer Street project was converted to LOTSIP, which is now considered a non-participating piece of the STP urban project. So basically, we've had the full analysis by all the divisions of DOT on the whole project. We're looking forward to the LOTSIP project clean without any sort of intense overview. I think a lot of people have issues with DOT when you go onto their property, which, as we all know, every square inch in this state is owned by somebody. So you got to go ask permission from the property owner. And a lot of the problems with LOTSIP relate to property owner permission. That's what I'll call it, the encroachment permit and that sort of thing. But on the STP urban side, it was very, very long. It's very, very onerous to go through. And I think a major issue with DOT personnel is to try to change their thinking a little bit. And I don't know if there's something that can be done from federal highway side on this to try to get the people who are now looking at a LOTSIP that is locally administered, locally certified, and kind of tone back their review level, because what happens is that if you happen to touch a state road with your LOTSIP money, the district starts getting the different divisions involved. And when they do, they expect to go great guns with everything as if it's a federal aid project. And I think it's just maybe a mindset that leads to some of the frustration we have with that. So, but I'm looking forward to having just straight up lots of projects. You know, of course, the more funding sources you add to something, the more difficult it is because they all conflict. So, but I'm kind of glad that we're no longer applying for and getting STP urban monies. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I can just add, and thank you everyone for your comments. I'm reminded of a transportation committee meeting that you had 2 or 3 months ago that I was at, and I think it was John who was expressing similar concerns. So as you start having discussions with the department, I mean, there seems like a long to-do list there, but if you prioritized, you know, I'm hearing maybe LOTSIP, and there's a reason for us, and I think there is a reason for us to be in that discussion, you know, that's probably where we need to be. So again, it's great hearing. I can hear the frustration. I can understand it firsthand, and we will make note of that. I don't know, and I don't think we're supposed to be talking about it, but the new legislation coming out, there were, thoughts, I think, of doing some pilot MPO type things in there. But I don't know any details. I don't know how it's going to play out, but we can monitor that as well. So thank you. And again, as you guys prioritize that and have conversations with the DOT, we're ready to be at the table and understand how we can streamline processes to deliver projects faster and more cost efficiently too.
Appreciate it. Thank you. We'll take you up on it.
Good.
Anything else that we need to do, or do we close out? say goodbye. Have a great day.
If there are no other comments, I think we are ready to conclude the meeting. Yeah.
All right. Well, we adjourned the formal transportation committee meeting. So I will thank everyone for participating. Thank you for the presentation from FHWA and FTA. And we appreciate your support. And we obviously appreciate your funding. And we look forward to a continuing partnership. And again, with the last plea, we think we have a great MPO here. And we think we have an organization that's capable of doing a lot more in terms of direct management of transportation projects in relating to the local and regional level. And with that, thank you all, and stay well and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, all.
Bye.